Tonight's learning is dedicated to the memory of Iris Merrick's father, Alav HaShalom, Avram Yitzchak ben Menachem Mendel, and to the Refuah Shlema of my good Chavir and Chavruta, Daniel Menachem ben Sivia. Should have Refuah Shlema b'Mehirah v'Yameinu. So we're continuing with our analysis of the identity and nature of Yom Kippur. And last week we discussed a number of the meta ideas regarding Yom Kippur, particularly as presented by Rav Soloveitchik in his various writings. And this evening what we're going to do is look at the relevant psukim in Parshat Emor, and then we're going to go on to a question of why is it Yom HaKippurim instead of Yom Kippur, which is the way we know it, but in the Chumash it's Yom HaKippurim. And then we're going to look at Rav Soloveitchik's words, almost verbatim words, in two different sources, and at a Rambam. And that's how we're going to begin. So let's start. So we have Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe L'mor, that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe saying, and now we begin specifically with the psukim regarding Yom Kippur. Ach ba'esor l'chodesh ha'shvi'i, but on the 10th day of the 7th month, hazeh, Yom HaKippurim. So you'll notice that even though we, and I think Jews for probably a very long time, have called Yom Kippur Yom Kippur, the Torah does not. It says, it's called Yom HaKippurim, Hu Mikra Kodesh. We're going to talk about the various elements here in a minute. It's a day of solemn assembly. Yeh Lechem, it should be to you. V'initem et nafshoteichem, and you should afflict your souls. V'hikravtem isha la'ashem, and you should bring a fire offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's literally what it means. Now let's take a careful look at this.
I remember last time we said, why is it plural instead of single?
We asked that question.
Because I missed your intro. So
we're going to be doing that right now.
So this is what?
Okay. Yeah, these are the actual psukim in the Chumash, and in the bottom part of the page asks that very question. Okay? So when we look at this first pasuk, we see that there's three different aspects to Yom Kippur. First is the name, Yom HaKippurim. Okay? It has something to do with atonement. Two, V'initem et nashoteichem, has something to do with affliction, with inui. And last but not least, V'hikravtem, Isha L'Hashem, and has something to do with a korban. Now, the next psukim in the center part of the page are going to really, in a sense, drill down a little bit regarding each of these ideas, except for the korban. The only mention of the korban is in this first pasuk, which is pasuk Chav Zayin in Perek Chav Gimel. Okay, Chav Chet. V'chol malacha lo ta'asu. Okay, that's the definition of a Mikra Kodesh, the day of solemn assembly. Okay, it's a day upon which we are proscribed from doing any sort of malacha. Okay, v'chol malacha lo ta'asu. Now, when be'etzem hayom hazeh, on that very day. Now, it's very interesting. If you drop down to Chav Tet, it also says be'etzem hayom hazeh. If you go down to Lamed, it also says be'etzem hayom hazeh. So one of the ways it's described quite clearly is that Yom Kippur has this idea of be'etzem hayom hazeh, okay, in this day. I don't recall any other Yom Tov that has that particular phrase. But you see, it's not used once, it's not used
what
twice.
Exactly
it's actually three times.
Puzzle.
Okay, etzem. Etzem means literally within the essence. Okay, etzem is like the word atzmot. Atzmot means bones. Okay, so in other words, in the most fundamental sense of the day, one may not do malacha. So if we're going to analyze the pasuk itself, and the concept of Yom Kippur is that, so built into the essence of the day of Yom Kippur is refraining from malacha. One of the ideas, okay?
And at some, we wouldn't think that we mean the whole day.
Well, it's an interesting idea. So since it says both, if you look in Chav Chet, in regard to Kol Malacha, which is the Mikra Kodesh idea, right? And if you look in Chav Ted, it says Lo Ta'an Lo Tu'uneh when Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So what we're really getting, okay, in these two psukim and in the third pasuk is really, really two ideas: is that the definition, the identity of Yom Kippur or Yom HaKippurim is a day that we must refrain from doing any malacha whatsoever, Shabbat Shabbaton, which is what we learned about last week. And also another part of the identity is the concept of Inui Nefesh. Okay, because it's, again, it's fascinatingly used in both Chavtet and Lamed. Right? So in other words, it's as if the Torah was giving you the identity structure of what Yom Kippur is about. Okay? So that I think perhaps answers your question. Now in Chav Chet, after we have the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, what do we have? Yom Kippurim.
Why is it Yom HaKippurim?
Okay, good. Now, why exactly in Chav Zayin it's Yom HaKippurim and in Chav Chet it's Yom Kippurim is a good question. Yom HaKippurim would mean the day, and then the hey is what's called in Hebrew the hey ayedia. It's identifying hey. So, for example, one of the famous cases where it's used is Vayehi achar hadevarim ha'ela v'ha'elokim nisa et Avraham. Right? Just before the Akedah. And it was after these matters. And it doesn't say v'elokim nisa et Avraham, and Elohim put, in a sense, tried Avraham. But what does it say? V'ha'elokim nisa et Avraham. So, as I've explained, I haven't really seen anyone else say this, but it was my own understanding, my own chidush. There, ha'elokim, the identifying hey is used, hey ayidia is used not once, but not twice, but three times. So this, in a sense, answers the famous question when it comes to Avraham Avinu, why in the world would Avraham go and be willing to offer his own son as a korban? Why would he do that? Because he had no question whatsoever that it was Ha'elokim nisa et Avraham. There's no doubt the one, the only, the sole Elohim in the universe. Okay? So it's like very much of an identifier. So Yom HaKippurim with the Hei idea means it's the day that it, whose identity, okay, going along with what we were saying about Hal Elohim, is first and foremost Kippurim. Okay? That's how we would be able to go and understand it this way. So once we've identified it that way, then we don't need to really necessarily identify it again as HaKippurim, but Yom Kippurim would be sufficient, okay, in the second instance. Okay, and that's what we say. Ki Yom Kippurim hu lichaper aleichem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. In a sense, you don't really need the Hei idea there as much as you did in the first, because remember, in Chav Zayin, we're identifying the different elements. And in Chav Zayin, we identify three elements. Yom HaKippurim, the idea that it's Mikra Kodesh, and Initamet Nashvatecha, right? Now we're drilling down. Okay, Yom Kippurim, well, what does that mean? Okay, so now it's not so much the identity of the day, but what, in a sense, is happening on the day. And that's why it really doesn't have the hay. Okay, so far? Okay, at least it's a suggestion. Okay? I certainly noticed it. I haven't seen a good answer besides what I've just said. It doesn't mean that you have to accept my answer. It's an original answer. Okay? So at any rate, what happens on Yom Kippurim? It's a day, right, that's going to be able to bring about atonement for you. Setting the slate clean, or as starting again, like we said last week, a reset. Now, also, this Yom Kippurim has as part of its identity, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. It's before God. Okay? If you notice again, you didn't have that. In the prior pasuk, it's Yom HaKippurim, clear identity, it's a Mikra Kodesh, and V'anitem et Nashutechem. All three of those first two, don't have anything stated directly about HaKadosh Baruch Hu until you get to V'kriftem Yishet L'Hashem. Right, that's the korban. Okay, so this is some of the ideas. Okay, now in Chavtet, continuing the drill down. Right? So again, as we said, part and parcel of the very essence of Yom Kippur is the fast. So if you don't do that, and if you're not ma'ane et atzmo, if you're not ma'ane yourself, right, et atzmecha, then what? Then you're violating the very nature, the very fundamental understanding of what the day is all about. So in other words, why do we go through the Inuyim? Why? Right? Why? There's no other day we do go through the Inuyim. Okay? And if you're going to tell me, well, what about Tisha B'Av? So Tisha B'Av, in some ways, is representative of aspects of Yom Kippur. Right? But that's only in the sense of the Chamesh Inuyim. Okay? So why do we have these Inuyim on Yom Kippur? In a sense, in a very real sense, to put us into the proper frame of mind so that we can be like Malachi HaSharit, right? Ultimately. And so that we can be in a better position to achieve Kapara. Because when we feel weak and we feel, in a sense, more and more dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, What did we do then? We say Hashem Hoshiach, Melech Yineinu V'Yom Kareinu, right? That's what we do. We call out to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that puts us into the frame of mind to really want to achieve Kapara. And again, it's part of the essence of the day. It's the identity of the day. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Okay, and Lamed V'Chol HaNefesh Asher Ta'aseh K'Malacha Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So it's very interesting. It's really, really, really interesting. Chavchet is Kamalacha lo ta'asu, Betzem Hayom Hazeh. Lamed is, right, V'chol ha'nefesh asher ta'aseh Kamalacha Betzem Hayom Hazeh. So again, it's going back. There's Inui, there's Malach, there's the idea of Mikra Kodesh. Okay, a lot of, in a sense, substantive restating, okay. Of course, always adding, but really restating the essence of what the day is all about. So what would happen if a person did malacha on Yom Kippur? Well, v'avadati et ha-nefesh ha-hi mekerav ama. That person's going to be wiped out. Okay, that person's going to have koreit. Lo aleinu, should never happen. Okay? And then in case you missed the malacha aspect, it says, ko malacha lo ta'asu. All right. Again, so you might have thought, well, maybe some halacha I can do. Maybe it's like any other yontif. Maybe I could do ochal nefesh, right? Based on the pasuk of Ach Asher Ye'achal ochal nefesh Hu Levado Ye'aseh Lechem, right? That's the famous pasuk of ochal nefesh. Okay, but no. Listen, when we say kol malacha, we mean it. It's Shabbat Shabbaton. So absolutely no malacha whatsoever, just as if it was Shabbat. Chukat Olam, Odorateichem, it's a chok forever throughout all your generations, no matter where you may be. So if you're in Shanghai, which, don't laugh, there have been Jews there, as you well know, okay, or you're in Puerto Rico, you know, for the Yom Tovim, it doesn't matter where you are, or you're in Israel, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, because notice what it says, the Chol Moed Shviteichem, doesn't matter, it's not place specific. And now again, the statement of that second name of Yom Kippur, Shabbat Shabbaton. Okay, it's an absolute Shabbat, as if it was Shabbat being the seventh day. Hu lachem, and again, v'initem et ashrateichem, it's the Inui, right? B'tisha l'chodesh, at the ninth of the month, be'erev, me'erev. In other words, so this is where we have our sumptuous Yom Tov meal, because as Rav Soloveitchik has pointed out, you can't obviously have a meal on Yom Kippur. So when is the meal of Yom Kippur? Erev Yom Kippur. That's why we have a sumptuous meal, and then we have the Sudam of Seket, which is not quite as sumptuous, but it's, you know, it's that's more symbolic. But we do have a regular, full-blown Yom Tov meal, you know, wearing proper Yom Tov clothing, and so on and so forth. So, Ad Erev Tishbetu Shab Techen, that you should have your Shabbat. Okay, so what Hayotzim is that? What's the summary that we can use as bullet points? So Yom Kippur, according to the Torah, basically has two names. Shabbat, Shabbaton, and Kippurim, Yom Kippurim, Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so those are the two names, number one. Number two is that there's three elements. It's a prohibition of malacha. It's a chiyuv to be involved with the inuyim, right? No eating, no drinking, etc., etc., that you're all very familiar with. And of course, very, very, for almost like put in there, almost min outside, the idea that there is a korban on Yom Kippur. Certainly the korban is not the major aspect of Yom Kippur, but like any other yontif, there is a korban. Okay, any questions before we go on? Okay, so the big question of the night, okay, we're going to see Rav Soloveitchik's Torah on this as well. And that's the very bottom of the page over here. So the question is, Madua Kippurim v'lo Kippur, right? So there is nobody that I know in my whole life that I've ever met who didn't say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay? Right? I've never, unless you're studying the Psukim, no one ever says Yom Kippur. I mean, anything other than Yom Kippur, no one ever says Yom HaKippurim. Right? You don't see it. You'll see it in Svarim, maybe, but you won't see it in terms of what's, the expression is Shagur B'Pivaam. What we say, no one says it. And it's not just Ashkenazim, even when I was among Sardim, I didn't hear them say Yom HaKippurim either. I heard them say Yom Kippur too. So what's going on? What's going on? The big question is, why is it Kippurim and not Kippur? So first of all, what is Kippurim, guys? What in grammar, what is Kippurim? Plural. And what is Kippur?
Singular.
Okay. So just starting from that, okay, if we're going to say it's Kippurim, right, such as Yom Kippurim, even if you don't want to go with the Yom HaKippurim, but you want to say it's Yom Kippurim, it has something to do with the plural, right? What kind of plural? What's the content of the plural? Whereas Kippur, of course, is singular. All right, so one thing that we can immediately say is that if we, and this is not from the Rav, and this is not from any of the sources, it's just one of my own ideas, that if we say Kippurim, it's telling us right away, simple, 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 that there's got to be different kinds of Kippurim, otherwise you wouldn't have it in the plural. Mm-hmm. Right?
Are they talking about Spartic? Are they talking about cultural? Or are they talking about spiritual ones?
Spiritual. Another way to look at it is this, is that we're going to be approaching Yom Kippur in very different ways. Okay? I don't want to give it away. We're going to come to that from the Rav, and we'll see that in the way he describes it. But one thing is very, very clear. There's different kinds of Kippurim. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the language saying that. So language really says quite a lot. All right, and it's giving voice to the idea that it's like that Yom Kippur, in some ways, is like a diamond with many different facets. And depending how your own personal spiritual light shines through the diamond, okay, it's going to eventuate in different aspects of the day for you, to you, as well as for different aspects for Klal Yisrael. Okay. Let's skip down to the very last line. We're going to be looking here at the Sifri to Sefer Devarim. For those of you who might want to look it up, it's in Sifri on Devarim Chafalav Chet in Parshat Ki Tetzé. So we're going to skip the first one. We're going to go to the second one. So the phrase is, Kaper le'amecha Yisrael asher padita. Okay? So, Kaper le'amecha. So who are we speaking about when we say amecha? We're telling Aaron HaKohen what to do on Yom Kippur. So, Kaper le'amecha. So, Elu hachayim. This is the people that are alive. Asher padita, that you have saved, says the Medrash, Elu HaMeitim. These are those who have passed away. Magid, this comes to teach us and tell us, Shahameitim, that those who have passed away, Tzrichim Kapara. Now, I don't know about you, I never thought in these terms, right? Ever. Yom Kippur, fascinatingly enough, according to the Sifri, it's a very ancient source, goes all the way back to the 2nd century of our era, okay, in the 130s, the 120s. So the Sifri is telling us, why does it say Kippurim? Because, unlike what I suggested earlier, it's not talking about different varieties of Kippurim, but it's talking about different subjects who need Kippurim, subject in the sense of people. So who are the major groups that need Kippurim? Both the Chayim and the Meitim, and those who have passed away. Fascinating. Fascinating. So when we think of the Yom Tovim, all of us think that our ancestors should be Melitzim Yesharim. Right? That they should, in a sense, advocate for us in Shemayim. Correct? That's what we think. After all, perhaps the only real advantage that someone who's niftar has over us, because they can't do mitzvot, right? What's the one advantage they have? The one advantage they have is that they see things completely absolute from the perspective of Emet. Everything is completely clear. Now there's all the things that you and I get bogged down on in this world. They're seeing, that's why they call it the Olam HaEmet. They're seeing it completely clearly. So from that perspective, okay, they can be Melitzim Yesharim. They can definitely advocate for us because they know what's really correct. Okay, what's really truth. On the other hand, fascinatingly enough, our connections never stop with those people who have gone to the Olam HaEmet. They still need us. They still need us. We can daven in this world. We can try to bring about kapara. And ultimately, by our moving towards kapara and to righteous lives and so forth, we actually can help bring, says the Sifri, kapara to those who have gone on to Olam HaEmet. It's a fascinating idea. Okay? That's one way of looking at why it says Kippurim. Let's go on. You should have this page now in front of you. Okay? This is the first material from Rav Soloveitchik. Now, what we're basically looking at here is a short synopsis. It's a kitsur of the more expanded version that we're going to see here in the very last page. At any rate, Rabbi Avishai David, big Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, he came out not that long ago with a sefer on every single parsha of the Torah that the Rav spoke about. And it's excellent, it's accessible, it is written in language that I think everybody can benefit from. If you're here, you could definitely enjoy it. So if you're looking for a sefer to buy yourself for this year to learn Parshat HaShavua, I recommend it very much. So let's go to the top. Why does the Torah refer to the day in the plural as Yom HaKippurim? Right? Classic question we just asked. The answer is that one may do teshuva in many ways. So the Rav's answer was not talking about for whom is it a day of Kippurim, but rather how do we do teshuva? Because without teshuva, there can be no kapara. That's key. Okay? So we can do teshuva in many ways, and Hashem accepts all of them. Teshuva may be sincere, right? Turbulent. You could be fighting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could be angry. Okay? You could be advocating on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Avraham Avinu did it. The Beit Shefer did it. Okay? It's not outside of what's acceptable. Or it could be exultant. You could just feel so close to Kutcher Brichel that you're overwhelmed. It could be one of those super spiritual moments. The first time you held your baby in your arms. Knowing, you know, it's an amazing feeling. Whether you're the mother, whether you're the father. Okay, it's an amazing, amazing feeling. Okay, that's exaltation. So, also whether it is teshuvah me'ahava, whether you're doing teshuvah because you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you sit there in your mind and you go, you know, I didn't quite make it this year. I wasn't able to keep up the Yom Kippur phenomenon, right, throughout the year. I didn't do it. And I really feel bad about it, and I want to come back to your Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Teshuvah Me'ahava. Or Teshuvah Me'ira. Whoa! I'm in Gahak Tzuris. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not forgive me and does not allow my Teshuvah to be accepted, Oy Vezemir, I'm in trouble. So that would be repentance motivated by fear. And all these different kinds, and we're going to see more in a minute, in the expanded version of this shir, okay? Hashem accepts berachamim. Okay. Now, also, I'm going to skip this next paragraph because I want to go on, so we'll definitely have time for the bigger version. Go on to the last page. Now, this is done is from a sefer called Before Hashem You Shall Be Purified. Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Right? You're all familiar with that. We say it over and over and over again in Yom Kippur. Right? This was summarized, annotated by Arnold Lustiger, who went on after this book and one other to really be involved extensively, even more extensively, with the Rav's Torah. Okay? So, everyone see, I think I put a bracket. Therefore, to be consistent? Okay. So, let's go to the line that starts with the third word, Yom Kippur. Does anyone see that? Okay, so Yom Kippur must reflect the fact that through this day, atonement is to be attained by man and not automatically granted by God. So what does that right away tell you? We've got to work. Yom Kippur is a day of spiritual lifting, to use a oft-used phrase in our day and age. Heavy spiritual lifting. Okay? Skip to the end of that paragraph. The term Kippur therefore suggests a specific action the Jew must perform to attain atonement. So, in other words, it's not going to happen by itself. Okay? If you skip down to the second to last sentence, or actually the last sentence, and I think I may have even started, it says Yom HaKippurim signifies, see that? Okay, so Yom HaKippurim signifies a day on which the Jew must perform specific actions to attain atonement. Okay, what's that specific action, everyone? One word. Teshuvah. Different kind, okay, different parts to it. But Yom Kippur needs teshuva if there's going to be kapara. Now, it's fascinating. Look what the Rav says. Yom HaKippurim signifies a day in which the Jew must perform specific actions to attain atonement. Okay? Whereas the three terms, slicha, mechila, and kapara, refer to Hashem's response. So, slach lanu, kaper lanu, mechal lanu, right? We say that ki anu amecha, right? And all of that. So we're all used to that. But really, we didn't really cognitively approach it. We didn't say to ourselves, what does that really mean? So now we know that slicha, mechila, and kapara is a response. It's a response to what? To our teshuvah. Okay? And everyone's teshuvah is going to be slightly different. True, like the Rambam says, teshuvah has to have hakarat ha-chet, recognition of the chet. Right? Nechama al ha-avar, you have to feel terrible for what you've done. And Kabbalah al ha-atid, and you have to make a resolution. Not a resolution like we hear about over and over again, but it has to be a resolution that's solid, that you mean in your heart, I'm going to change, I'm going to be someone different. If we can do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond with Tatala, I love you and you love me, so I'm going to grant you Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara. Okay, so if you go to the top of the page, and by the way, these are from two different teshuvah drashot, which is why it's more expansive than what Rav Avishai David brought before. Okay, but now the Rav says, in light of the Mishnah Torah passage quoted above, the act by which man attains atonement is, of course, repentance, teshuvah. The term, you ready? Here's what the Rav says. We all ask, what's Kippurim? The term Kippurim, therefore, specifically to repentance, to teshuvah. Now, before we do the next part, which is fascinating, let's go back to that Rambam. The Rambam is on this page, the first page that I had from the Rav. If you look at the Rambam, it's on the bottom of the page. This is the Rambam in Hilchot Shuvah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Okay, so Bizman Azeh, in our day and age, Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Rachmana Litzlan, we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, Vein Lanu Mizbach Kapara, and we don't have a Mizbeach upon which we can obtain a Kapara through bringing what? Korbanot. So says the Rambam, Ein Sham Ela Teshuvah. The only thing we have is Teshuvah. Now, the first thing you might ask, is teshuvah enough? Is it enough?
It is now, we don't have this.
Well, that's what the Rambam is going to underline here. Look what he says. HaTeshuvah mechaperet al kol ha'averot. True, no Kohen Gadol. True, no Seir HaMishtaleach, the scapegoat. Okay? True, no Beit HaMikdash. But as we learned last week from Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecham Yisrael, Lifnei Atem Mitaharim, before whom do you achieve kapara and tahara? Right? Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Rambam. Bizman hazeh, without all the other aspects, ha-teshuva mechaperet ha-kol ha-averot. Now, fascinatingly enough, so you might say, and people have said throughout Jewish history, Pliny ben Pliny says, I've been a Russia, I've been miserable, I'm terrible, Hashem will never forgive me. Look at the Rambam says, Afilu Rasha Kol Yamav, even if a person has been a Rasha his entire life, right? V'asa teshuva be'achrona, and he does teshuva in his final moments. Okay, so let me illustrate it. I'll show my age a little bit. Some of you may remember the black and white war movies. Augie Murphy, okay, William Holden, people like this, right? You remember, I'm sure you do. Okay, so what did you, I saw them. What did you see in all these movies? It's a terrible war scene. People are dying. The priest runs over and he gives last rites. Okay, and what did you see? There's a, unfortunately, Rachman al-Tzlan, there's a Jewish guy in the foxhole. And what do you hear? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? More than one. Over and over and over again. I saw it. Okay? And
Google that one.
Okay? I'm not exaggerating. It made an impression on me that you can obviously hear. I saw it as a young kid. It was probably a $1 million movie. Okay? Until it was Channel 9, I didn't even know if there was still a Channel 9. It was a $1 million movie, and it was black and white flicks. And I was so young, I didn't even know that the theme, da 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 da, I didn't know it was from Gone with the Wind. Okay? That's how young I was. Okay? So, fascinatingly enough, it doesn't matter. This certainly underscores the idea of what? There are no atheists in a foxhole. Okay? So, guess what? A person does tshuva at the last moment. He could have been, okay, a ne'er-do-well. Nonetheless, says the Rambam, Ein maskirin lo shum davar mirisha. He's a full Baal Teshuva. Completely. How do you know? It's a pasuk from the Navi. Shanel Mar. Rishat ha-rasha, the evil of the bad guy, lo yikashel ba, will not trip him up, biyom shuv'o mirisho, on the day that he comes back and he does teshuvah from his evil. Now, interestingly enough, I know you guys were asking me a lot about how come it says be'etzem ayom hazeh, be'etzem ayom hazeh. Not once, not twice, but three times. So look at the Rambam says. Etzem also is related to the word atzmo. The essence. The day, okay, fancy philosophical terminology. The day in and of itself. Look at the Rambam says. The atzmo shayom ha-kippurim. And notice what word does he say? Does the Rambam say Yom Kippur? No, he says Yom HaKippurim, because that's what the Pasuk says. Okay? And then he brings in, he's really combining the Pesukim we saw, right? Etzem and Yom HaKippurim. V'yatz Moshe Yom HaKippurim, Mechaper. But Mechaper for who? L'shavim. We had to do our part. Okay? Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem mikol chatoteichem lifnei Hashem. Okay, titaru, but it's not a one-way trip. We're not going to get kapara, right? Certainly, at least in its full sense, unless we do what? Teshuvah. So v'atzma shiyom ha-kippurim mechaper l'shavim. Okay, but you've got to do teshuvah. Shne'amar ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem. Okay, that's the idea. With all of that, let's go back and do the grand finale. Okay, this is an incredible piece here now. This is the full version of Rav Avishai quotes in part. But this is what the Rav said. The plural form Kippurim is used to signify that there are many types of teshuvah. How beautiful. Because there's many types of Jews. And there's many types of attitudes toward the day. And none of, if you want to do your kind of teshuva in sincerity, it's accepted. And your teshuva is different than my teshuva, and my teshuva is different from someone else's teshuva. And look how beautiful he actually says this. The plural form of Kippurim is used to signify that there are many types of teshuva, and that Hashem accepts all of them if they're offered in sincerity or sincerely. As examples, and these are the examples. All right, first he quotes Kabbalistic teshuva. Teshuva tata, teshuva of the lower realm, and teshuva ila'a, teshuva of the upper realm. Who is that from? None other than the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in Sefer HaTanya. There's also teshuva me'ahava, teshuva from love, and teshuva from yirah. That's based on the Gemara. And then there's teshuva b'yamei yalduto. There's teshuva when you're young. When you're young. Okay? And you can do anything and everything you want. You can, you know, anything and everything. And there's also teshuva b'yamei zikuto. And there's teshuva when you're older. So in terms of certain things, if you do teshuva when you're really, really, really old, you're not such a big kanaker. Okay? But in other areas, if you do teshuva when you're really young, and there's a lot of things
what
that you could
young?
Be doing. What?
What constitutes young? Before bar mitzvah?
Or? Young while you still have all of your strength and all of your ability.
I look at that.
Okay?
I'm still young.
I feel fine.
Yes?
And I was about to say, well, okay.
Yes.
I have no strength.
If you have all, yeah, well, you're raising teenagers. But if you have all, if you have all of your mental faculties, and you have the majority of your strength, then you're still doing teshuva when you're a fairly young person. Okay? But a person, you know, who doesn't do teshuva till he says vidui at 98 years old, we understand it's qualitatively a different tshuva. But is it tshuva? Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, you ready?
Hey, I have a question.
Go ahead.
You mentioned now about vidui.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine.
Yes.
And she says that seeing that they knew her father-in-law was about.
Yes.
But they were told not to tell him to say vidoy because that means he's coming to the end and he'll know and he'll bring it on faster. I think that's what it was.
Right. So that's a judgment call. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I remember just the opposite when my mother-in-law.
Yes.
We were told say vidoy with her.
Okay. It really depends according to the person. Okay. If the person is the kind of person that they would want to say vidui as an ulai, okay, because they really don't want to go from this world to the world to come without having said vidui, then by all means, one should say vidui with them. Absolutely. And if the person, Rachman Otzlan, can't say the words, so then you say the words, and they listen intently, and they blink their eyes, and they let you know that they're hearing. Okay. If, however, the physician or the family feel that, you know, this person might be able to linger a few more days, but if he/she says vidui genugt, then indeed they should not. They should not at that time. Okay. But it all depends on who the person is. Okay. All right, now.
Some people might be comforted by saying it.
100%. Exactly. But you have to know the person. You have to know the person. Okay, now this is fascinating. Now remember, vidui, okay, is coupled with teshuvah. You can't do vidui without teshuvah. Because if you do that, as I've said for many, many years, then the vidui becomes sort of like an Italian opera. You know, it doesn't mean anything. But if you do teshuvah and you do vidui, then it's very meaningful. So, but listen, look at this, it's fascinating. At vidui, some sing a victory march. Who sang victory march? The Germans.
Napoleon.
The Yekkes. They don't say vidui like you and I say vidui, or our grandparents said vidui, or our great-grandparents, with tears and a sense of, oh no, imminent who knows what. Right? In the Yakisha community, they sing, they're joyous, they're happy, while others sway intently, and we can see the tears coming down their eyes. Okay, that's why people fight over Zaydis or Bubbies, Machzor and Siddur, and especially Tehillim. Okay, the Yom Kippur, the Vilna Gaon, right, was fundamentally different from the Yom Kippur of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal HaTanya, or the Maggid of Meserich. Okay? But you know what? Shivim panim l'Torah. There's many different ways to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so, my hope is that because of our shirim and our learning together, each of us will find our own unique way to approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur. It's okay if your way is different than my way. As long as your way is spiritually intentful and meaningful, and God willing, mine would be as well. So I wish everyone here a Ketiva v'Chatima Tova. This should be our final year of Rosh Hashanah in Galut. We should celebrate it in the newly rebuilt Beit HaMikdash. Okay? If you want, it'll be my honor. So I wish you all a good Gebencht Yar, and that this should be the year coming, should be the year of Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Mehrah V'Yameinu. Amen.